from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network, our many great affiliate stations. Appreciate each and every one of you carrying the show throughout another year. In our going into our 15th year is what we are doing, and I'm very happy about that. I can't believe it, to be perfectly honest with you, but we're doing that. We're coming up on that anniversary. Should we make it to September? It'll be fantastic. Thanks to our friends all over the world via our podcast that listen as well. You can find those at wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Doug and Karen Roberts at Conquest Sense, and also the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, all getting together to bring you Wild Michigan, and they're all kind of working together in and throughout the outdoors world as well. And somebody that knows the back roads and the nooks and crannies of Michigan, if that sounds right, my good friend Jenny Olson from Michigan Outdoors TV joins me right now. Jenny, it's been a little while, but good to hear from you again.
Hey, Duran. Yeah, congrats on the 15 years, too. That's awesome.
We're almost there. It's like the day before bow season is like our 15th day specifically, but I like to say we're in our 15th year because,
yeah,
seriously, didn't see that happening.
That's awesome for sure, right? Yeah. I on June 21st here in a few more weeks, I will be at 22 years ago that I started. So I guess I'd be starting on my 23rd year with Michigan Out of Doors.
Wow.
But I did take that little 4-year break kind of in the middle of the career and went to work for Ted Nugent. But yeah, it's crazy. I guess, you know, I must have started when I was 16, right?
Well, I was going to say, you don't look any older, so I don't know what the heck. But that's fantastic. I mean, you guys, you've worked with Jimmy for a long time, and he's a great guy. But you know, like we talked off air briefly, because of the pandemic, and even before that, long before that with you, you've been doing a lot of stuff from home, which to so many people, it's new to work from home, but you know, because of digital technology, it's not been that way for you.
Right. Yeah. We've been, well, in 2005, when I moved down to Texas for that little stint with Nugent, I started working from home then. It was a little different. Technology wasn't quite there, but I did have internet barely back out in the sticks of Texas. But yeah, I still had to mail in an actual tape to the Outdoor Channel for Nugent's show back then. But coming back, when Jimmy actually purchased the show in 2009 from MUCC, and once he did that, we started trying to figure out how to, you know, work remotely. So we've been doing it full time since then. He moved out to Grand Haven, and mm-hmm. I live over on the east side of the state. So yeah, we kind of, and Jordan lives in the middle. He lives in Ionia County. So we hardly ever see each other, which is so weird. But yeah, it was kind of funny when the whole pandemic began, everybody was on social media talking about, you know, their dog is their coworker, their
right,
spouse
right.
is their coworker, and how crazy it is. I'm like, yeah, welcome to my world. I've been doing this for a while. It gets a little lonely, but I mean, I'm not overlooking the convenience of it either. It is still pretty cool to be able to just do everything from home, sitting in my spare bedroom editing Michigan Out of Doors.
That's cool. That's really cool, though. I mean, because look, you're still getting outdoors, and this is the one thing about the pandemic that's not stopped the sportsmen and women of Michigan, is we are still getting outdoors regardless. You know, I mean, look, we don't have to be on top of each other to go hunting, to go fishing, you know, and that
right.
seemed to be really overlooked in the beginning.
Yeah, but we were born social distancing, right?
Right. not saying why we're that way. We're just
right.
we're just that way. But Jenny Olson is our guest here from Michigan Outdoors TV. Real quickly, I'm only going to touch on this real quickly, but, you know, it's funny because having done so much with Ted Nugent over the years, being in radio, rock radio myself, people always ask what he's like. I'm like, you know what? It's a light switch. I mean, when the microphone or camera is on, he is a totally different guy. And I think everybody would love the guy we see off air.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I always tell him, if that rock and roll thing doesn't work out, you could be a comedian, because he is so funny. And he is a little different. I've seen him actually look tired and, like, you know, sluggish right. sitting around after a concert tour. So, but, yeah, I mean, I know you either love or hate Ted. That's how it goes. But
it is.
I think he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, he's always been very kind to us and very accommodating. And then I've got absolutely zero bad to say. But let's talk about what you've done this year. I mean, look, we've already been through turkey season. We're into the fishing now with walleye and with salmon taking underway. How do you guys map out what you're going to do? I mean, Michigan has seasons, but how do you decide who's going to do what?
Well, it's kind of funny. It's not nearly as organized as you might think it would be. Every Monday morning, Jimmy, Jordan, and I have a little phone conference, and we talk about, so we all basically set our own schedules and figure out what we want to go shoot. And then we get on the phone on Monday mornings, and we talk about, okay, who has what footage? You know, how long of a story do you think you have, and what fits together? And okay, let's make this happen. So Jordan and I edit together our pieces and send them over to Jimmy, and he puts the whole show together and takes it to the PBS station in Grand Rapids every week. But of course he adds in his story too. But so as far as how we figure it out, we just, a lot of our stuff, I would say at least half, if not more, is just people coming to us either by email or just, you know, you run into somebody at the gas station and they'll say, hey, how come you never do catfishing on Saginaw Bay? Like, well, I don't know anyone that does it. If you do it, let me know. Let's go. You know, that's how we get a lot of our stories, is that way. So when I was joking about not being as organized as you might think, we really don't have too many shoots planned very far out either. You know, just we kind of have to wait till the fishing is hot for, you know, whatever species we're after and go mm-hmm. that way. I would say deer hunting and turkey hunting are the ones we might plan, you know, a month or two out. Or, you know, maybe last year at a buck poll, I ran into somebody who looked like they had some good land, and I'll say, hey, let's plan on following you next year. That might be the furthest out we ever plan anything. But it's usually pretty, kind of a pretty fluid schedule, and a lot of stuff gets canceled or put on hold, you know, based on weather, or, you know, mm-hmm. if the fish aren't biting, we might put something off for another week or so. But yeah, it's kind of run slightly by the seat of our pants, I would say.
Yeah, kind of like this show. I never right? know what I'm going to talk about or who I'm going to talk to till like a day before. And then it's just kind of, you know, throwing this together. But Jenny Olson, Michigan Out of Doors TV, is joining us on your local PBS channel for, gosh, for so many years. I'm not just saying you, but in general, the concept of Michigan Outdoors to Michigan Out of Doors and the other incarnations it has had over the years.
It started in 1951 with Morton F.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and that's actually before me.
Right?
I think Jerry Gepetta was in as a kid when I remember.
Right.
And he was a guy. And then, of course, then Fred. And then you guys, you know, you kids come in. And then Jimmy buys it in 2009, which really blows my mind. Because I remember, like, just having this conversation with Jimmy about, yeah, I bought the show. And now you tell me it's 2009. Great, thanks. Thanks, Facebook.
Which, 2009 doesn't seem that far away till you do the math. Like, what? 12 years?
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. It's my wife and I were having this conversation about Facebook. You know, I like Facebook, but I don't, because it says, 7 years ago, you were doing this. It's like, yeah, no, we're good. Jenny Olson joining us here on Wild Michigan. We're being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense up in Davison, Michigan. Doug and Karen Roberts, great people. And great products as well. Make sure you check them out for their VS1 and their Evercom Sense in a Stick. And we're going to talk more with Jenny a little bit about Michigan Out of Doors. Of course, you've got a venture of your own that we're going to talk about as well. Because, believe it or not, people, radio and TV, not exactly the pinnacle of success that you'd like to think it is. I say that with a big smile because we love this. So, Jenny, hang on. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll be right back.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, UDFOM.com. The truth behind the truth about CWD.com is another website you can check them out on. Jenny Olson, as I've been calling her, for Michigan Out of Doors TV. You know what? You get so I'm like one of these old Michigander guys that, you know what? Don't mess with my programs and my meat and potatoes on the table at the same time every day or night. Just don't change things on me. But Jenny, you went and changed things on me.
I know.
And I've known about this.
49 years. I spent 49 years as Jenny Olson. And then I think I always will be, because I don't know. I like you, most people don't take to change very well. But so I did. So I've mentioned, you know, I've been married 3 years tomorrow. It'll be 3 years ago. And I tried to decide what to do. Being married so late in life, I was like, man, I mean, I'm changing my name legally to my husband's last name, but what do I do on the show, right? And I decided to, for the first, I did what I call the John Cougar Mellencamp transition. Because remember, when we were kids anyway, he was just John Cougar.
Right.
And then no explanation, he was John Cougar Mellencamp. I mean, at least I have an explanation. I got married. But and then without any announcement or anything, he just silently plucked out the cougar. And now he's John Mellencamp. And we all accepted the transition and we were comfortable with it, right? So that's what I decided I was going to do with my last name. So for the first 6 months after I got married, I said, I know, actually, I think I did it for more like a year, but I said Jenny Olson Seilek. And it was such a mouthful. And I thought, you know, I'm not Jenny Olson Seilek. I didn't hyphenate my name. So
right.
I'm just going to pluck out the Olson. So I just say Jenny Seilek. And it's who I am, but I am still Jenny Olson as well. That's what most people call me when they run into me somewhere. So,
well, you know, that's the thing, too. I mean, so many people that I've worked with in this industry change their name. I mean, for professional reasons, they change it. And so many of them go their first name, and then the guys anyway, like middle name. You know,
so
a middle name is a last name all of a sudden. Me, I wanted to change my name when I first got into radio, and they said, no, leave it. Just leave it. So I didn't get to do anything cool. But, yes, Jenny Seilek from Michigan Out of Doors TV is joining us. And you know what? And I will forget this tomorrow, you know, because I'm that guy. But you do, and I made mention real quickly about, look, we love what we do. And, you know, you've done so well with Michigan Out of Doors TV and, with Jimmy buying it and the whole transition there. But sometimes we do other things. Like I have a business on the side that I buy and sell lots of vintage coolness is what I call
right.
it. but you have a much grander vision for what you like to do outside of here.
Yeah. So it wasn't really even a vision, which is hilarious. I feel like sometimes my whole life is a sham. I got talked into applying for the job at the TV show years ago. And then 10 years ago, I got talked into, at that time, being part owner of a tour boat in Port Huron. It holds 100 people, called the Huron Lady. And I was part owners with, I call them the Youpers. There were three guys from the UP that own a bunch of other tour boat businesses in Michigan. And they invited me to be part owner and manage it. Well, I did that for a few years, and then I ended up buying them out. So now the bank and I own it. But yeah, it's been fun. I'm starting into my 11th season, which seems crazy. Like we talk about time flying. I never aspired to own a tour boat, but it's super fun. I had to quickly learn about all the, we had to get Coast Guard inspected. We have a liquor license. So I had to deal with transferring that. And we get inspected by the health department because we have a food service license. So it's a fun boat. So we can come on and have some food and have some boat drinks. And we run, we have like public sightseeing tours. So we run 7 days a week once the summer gets cranking here. And we just go out and about on the St. Clair River, up and down the Michigan side, the Canada side. We go under the Blue Water Bridges because everybody loves to see that. And then once we do that, we're in Lake Huron and we check out Michigan's oldest lighthouse in Fort Gratiot. And then we come back down to our dock. So those are fun. And then we have private parties and dinner cruises. And actually, speaking of Ted Nugent, I'll name drop again. He had Shemaine's 50th birthday on the boat a few years back here. I won't say how many years ago. Keep Shemaine's age a little bit of a secret. But yeah, so it's pretty fun. We do private parties. We go out every day on the water. I don't drive the boat. Most people assume I'm the captain, but that's way too intimidating for me. That thing weighs 38 tons and holds 100 people. So I don't want to be that responsible.
No kidding. I mean, I'm hell with a tiller. I can't imagine driving something that big.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's awesome. I'm going to be in Port Huron here the end of this month.
No way!
I'll be going.
Yeah, you got to come out.
I'll have to check it out because, like I said, my wife has a new gig. We travel all over the state. I am what we call the Duber, not the Uber. I'm the Duber. So, which some people misconstrue that for something else. No, nothing like that. But it's like Uber with a D. But yeah, we're going to be in Port Huron, and I'll make sure to check that out. But
awesome.
What is the rest of? I mean, I know you don't look too far ahead with filming, but I mean, what are you looking forward to probably the most, I guess, this year? Because there's still, I mean, we're only 6 months into this year and we have a lot more seasons left.
Right. Yeah. I like doing some big lake stuff and getting over on the Lake Michigan side. We'll be doing that. We're always, it's challenging. It's not, but to try to find a different story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than the same old stuff we do. So a friend of ours is trying to locate some Cisco over near Traverse right now. So if he finds those, we might go do a fishing story with him. But yeah, like Jimmy usually says, I'll quote Jimmy Gretzinger. He said, you know, we can do 100 different bluegill fishing stories and every one of them is going to be different because our show, you know, we show a little bit of technique, a little bit of location, but it's about the people we're fishing with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I think we keep our variety going. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting over to the west side of the state a little bit, doing a little fishing over there. I spent a lot of time fishing here on the east side of the state just because it's so nice and close and convenient. We have a lot of fishing going on here, but I do love fall the most, of course, right? A lot of us do.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't wait for that for a couple of reasons. It means the craziness of the tour boat season is gone. And I don't have to worry about that 7 days a week. And it means the weather is changing, getting back to that crisp fall weather, and all the seasons start opening up for hunting. So that's what I love.
Are you looking forward to maybe getting back to Big Buck Night next year?
Yeah, we really need to. That's been just a craziness. So, of course, we weren't able to do it in 2020, and then 2021 came along, and we still didn't have any of the trade shows open. So we feel kind of bad about what we would do. You know, I think we're still trying to figure out how in the world would we incorporate a normal, like the people, the successful hunters this fall. You know, we would have them on next spring for Big Buck Night. But what do you do with those other 2 years worth of successful hunters who had amazing deer to show off and never got to on our show? So we're still trying to figure out if there's a way to do that. And I don't know what that way is yet.
Right. Well, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything, you know, will start getting back to the way we knew. I don't like the word normal because nothing in my life is ever normal, ever. So, but just back to a form that we recognize just a little bit. And, man, as always, Jenny, it's great talking with you, and we appreciate your time. Jenny Seilig, you, of course, probably know her as Jenny Olson as well, but look for her on Michigan Out of Doors TV. And happy anniversary, young lady.
Thank you, Duran.
All right, make sure to check them out Thursday nights on your local PBS station. It's a great place to be.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Appreciate you joining us here. Being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Wednesday night auctions and ammunition and all kinds of firearms. Everyday carry, accessories, everything you can think of in one location. Plus, they've got some training going on as well. Make sure you hit them up online, notjustguns.com. And they've been working with us for a couple of years, and they're great people over there. Really, they surely and truly are people we would deal with on an everyday basis. So we're happy to send them, send you their way. And we're going to speak with Grant Cole right now. Grant is joining us up in Beulah, Michigan. So from like Jenny Olson's side of the state over near Port Huron, we're going to go up to the Traverse City area of Beulah, where Auctioneers Incorporated is, and he is Michigan's premier sporting collectible auction service. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Duran. Thanks for having us on the show today.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny because every time I say your name, I'm like, you know, we've met several times at the sporting shows, and I've had you on the show before, and I'm like, why is his name like more familiar than the times that we've talked? And it just hit me. There was a gentleman that used to play for and he may still, for the Philadelphia Eagles with your same name that was on this show.
Yeah.
So yep. That's why. I'm like, I've been beating myself up for this for like 2 years. Like, why do I know Grant's name so well? But yeah, and he was
The Immaculate Reception?
Actually, this guy still plays football. And it's funny, okay. His signature move, he's a defensive lineman, with a sack or something like that, he will drop down to one knee and get into the archer's pose because he's a big bow hunter. So
okay, cool.
So yeah, it's something, you know, really kind of funny, a completely opposite yet the same. But man, here it is. Let's get into the meat of why we're talking. To me, this is picking season. Garage sales are out there, you know, estate sales, just everything. People are clearing out and getting rid of things. And I'm that guy that when I go out, I'm looking for old Coleman lanterns. I'm looking for old fishing lures, decoys, things of that nature. And sometimes people have so much of this stuff, maybe they're downsizing or maybe a loved one has passed and they don't know what to do with it. Well, you know what? I'm going to kind of steer you in the right direction, because if you're not calling me, you should be calling Grant, because you deal, this is your life specifically with you know, decoys and lures and things of that nature.
Absolutely. You know, people ask us all the time, what do we do? And I say, if it has to do with vintage hunting and fishing, that's what we sell, from duck decoys, fish spearing decoys, spears, fly rods, advertising, old shotgun shell boxes, snowshoes. And then you think about marbles. The Marbles Knife Company in Gladstone, Michigan, they made everything under the sun, from matchstick holders to safety hatches to fish grabbers. And this stuff is everywhere throughout the Midwest and especially Michigan. You know, most of this stuff was made to use by sportsmen. And, you know, the duck decoy companies in Michigan, Mason Duck Decoys is one of the largest factory duck decoy makers ever, and they started in the late 1800s and were in business until 1923. And those Mason Duck Decoys are all throughout the Midwest, but especially in Michigan, and they were located right in Detroit. And you can find these things at garage sales, estate auctions. I've heard people talk about finding these things for free out on the side of the road because people just don't know what they have and they don't know what it's worth.
You know, Grant Cole's our guest here, Auctioneers Incorporated up in Beulah, Michigan. The first thing I tell people when they say that, you know, my folks are getting older or this and that, we're talking about doing an estate sale, I say, don't throw it away. Whatever it is,
absolutely.
Whatever you think it is, it could be the most mundane thing you've ever seen in your life. Don't throw it away. Call somebody.
Absolutely, and you know, a quick Google search, whether it's looking for an auction company, looking for an estate sale company, someone with a little bit of effort, someone's going to be able to steer you in the right direction and help you.
I agree. As a matter of fact, you had mentioned marbles. I was at it was a fourth generation garage sale, essentially, is what they called it. And, you know, she's about my age. And she says, you know what? I'm the last one that cared anything about this stuff. My kids don't want it, so we're selling it. And that's when I picked up some of the most incredible stuff ever. And one of them, very common, but still, it was a brass marbles pin-on compass for 50 cents.
You know, oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great pickup for that.
you know, not exactly the most high dollar thing, but at the same time, there's more value to it. And this is where calling a professional like yourself in is going to be helpful, not only monetarily, but to find people that really want to buy this stuff.
Well, and I think that's a good point. You know, in today's society, we are such a throwaway society, and there are a lot of people that appreciate these old collectibles, and they collect them, and they enjoy them, and they enjoy them for many reasons, and the history behind it, and why the people used it, and things like that. And, you know, I think if we can continue to recycle these things and get them to the people that appreciate them, it's better than them going to the landfill for sure.
Grant Cole is our guest here from Auctioneers Incorporated up in Beulah, Michigan, and we're being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Grant, it's look, when I look at old decoys, I see just that. I mean, I have tried to train myself, but when you deal with hand-carved decoys, like spearing decoys, like an Oscar Peterson or something like that, are there things that kind of give away that particular style?
There definitely are. So we call the Oscar Peterson, we call that the Cadillac style, and that's just the form and the way it, which it is carved. So, and a lot of people have copied Oscar Peterson, and so that's something that you've got to if you go to decoy shows and get yourself educated, there's a lot of books out there for information to help you study and learn. But the best thing you can do is to go to decoy shows. And there are sporting collectible shows and decoy shows around Michigan, and especially the North American Decoy Show, which is located in Chicago. And it's called the North American Decoy Collectors Association. You go to shows like this and you can learn so much. And that's how I got my education, was going to shows. And so each carver has kind of a style in which they carved in. Mm-hmm. And then it's also specific to regions. So, you know, Lake St. Clair has one region, you know, which is Southeast Michigan. And then we have Cadillac, Michigan, which is really well known because of Oscar Peterson, which some exciting news happened here just a little over a month ago. New world record was set for a fish spearing decoy, which was carved by Oscar Peterson. It was a 20-inch perch, and it sold for a new world record of $114,000.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Crazy. For something that, you know, I probably would have had on my mantle collecting dust because it's beautiful. But just
right.
I mean, look, and I know that there's value in this stuff, and you know, having dealt with guys like you and Greg Woodland and other people in this industry, there is so much to learn. So again, you know, two rules, man: don't throw it away, and call somebody. If you need to call me, you can call me, and I will help you the best I can, or put you in contact with people like Grant at Auctioneers Incorporated, because there's somebody out there that wants it. And what I find when I'm in this business, not only finding to me is the most exciting part of the business. The second most exciting part is putting something together with someone who loves it probably as much as life itself.
No, absolutely. I mean, the guys that are true collectors, they're just like a kid at Christmas. Their whole face just lights up, and they want to tell you about the story and how they found it and where they found it and why they love it. And that's pretty awesome.
All right, Grant Cole is our guest, Auctioneers Incorporated. We're being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. We're going to talk more with Grant and find out what the process is to get the ball rolling on your end here on Wild Michigan. Oh, yeah.
Hi, this is Cuz Stricken with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Being brought to you by United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And we are speaking with Grant Cole from Auctioneers Incorporated. And the website is miauctioneersinc.com. Find them on Facebook at Auctioneers Inc. as well. And you want to hit me up for information on this stuff, we'll happy to be put you in the right direction, or I can help you myself. Very simple, man. Everything's on our Facebook page or our website at wildmichiganradio.com, or you can call me direct, 517-712-3529. Just get through my Google screener and everything's fine. We'll be friends for life. But Grant Cole joining us right now. Grant, What is the process? I mean, is there a decision that you make saying, you know what, yes, I can help you, or no, I can't? Or you just pretty much take it all and then let the buyer sort it out?
Well, I think that's a good question, and that is something that has evolved for us as a company. You know, when we started in this niche specialty 8 years ago, we were selling anything and everything that had to do with hunting and fishing related memorabilia and collectibles. Now the process has kind of changed to where people can text message me pictures, they can email me pictures of some of the items they have. I travel all over the country now, and our business has expanded from, we go to decoy shows to Minnesota to the East Coast. So if I can, I really like to see the things in person. Taking pictures is usually a good way to get the ball rolling, and emailing them to me, and usually from pictures I can tell what you have, but I've found some of the most incredible stuff of people that didn't even take the picture of the item that was worth the most value. You know, they think that these decoys over here were worth money, and then, oh, there's this beautiful old metal Johnson Seahorse, you know, advertising metal sign hanging up on the barn wall.
No, I get that, because that's again, being in this business, I totally understand that, because people have a perception, okay, that Grandpa said this was worth X amount of money, and that story will stick with them because that came from somebody that they love and respected a great deal. And that thing that he just sat over in the corner that may be a little rusty, a little old, maybe bent up, it's got 10 sure. times the value.
Yeah, and you never know what that one thing might be. I mean, it could be a bicycle. It could be, you know, an old Harley Davidson engine. It could be, you know, the fly rod. I just, on this last auction we had on Sunday, I had a customer send me some fly rods to sell, and he was hoping to get, you know, $100 for all of them. And one of the fly rods that was in there was pretty special, and it brought $500 on its own.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of those
so you
old
just never know.
Split bamboo rods, things like that, unmarked things are so difficult to identify sometimes. Because of the makers, or maybe a label has worn off over the years. But
right.
There's always some identifier on there that will say, it will lead you in a direction.
Definitely. And like duck decoys are probably one of the most difficult things to identify. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, what is this name on the bottom of the decoy, or what is this brand? And that's probably one of the most frequently asked questions. And the brand on the bottom of the decoy is not who made it. It's generally 99% of the time the hunter that owned it. So if they were hunting out on Saginaw Bay mm-hmm. and a storm came in and their decoys blew away and someone else found them in the marsh the next day, oh, this is Joe Johnson's duck decoy. I'll return it to him. And they all knew each other that hunted. So that's what those brands are on the bottom of the decoys. 9 times out of 10, it was the owner of the decoy.
Yeah, you know what? And that's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of times, you know, like with tackle boxes, you know, I'll buy a big tackle box full of old stuff. And it's so funny what you'll find in there. A lot of times you'll find the name of a previous owner. But, I mean, I have found everything from fireworks to rifle shells to, I mean, stuff that's other things that are not fishing related but is worth more than any part of the tackle in the whole box.
Absolutely. It could be vintage bobbers. Some of those old vintage bobbers are worth an incredible amount of money.
You just never know. And again, it's just one of those things you have to learn. Grant Cole is joining us here. Michigan Auctioneer, I'm sorry, Auctioneers Inc. is who we're speaking with here. A little sidetrack. The other thing too, Grant, I want to talk about is Coleman lanterns. Okay, for some reason in Michigan they're way more expensive than other places I've looked, but but, you know, some of them bring very, very good money. If you happen to have like a mustard yellow one laying around, give me a call.
Right.
That Gold Bond Coleman lantern, they can bring some incredible money.
And they made so many different makes and models, and, you know, you've got all the different options. And, you know, more than anything, Duran, and you know this as well as I do, but the general public doesn't, it's the condition of the item that you're selling. Mm-hmm. Condition, species, and maker. Those are the top three.
Yeah, and believe me, the box, having the box means more to a product, to a vintage item, than most people will ever know.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, you're talking about boxes, and I just think back about, well, one of the most prolific fishing lure makers that was not a factory was Bud Stewart, and he was located in Flint, Michigan. And some of his boxes have brought more than what the lures have just by themselves.
Yeah, it does not surprise me in the least. You know, and lures, too, that's a whole other rabbit hole that we really don't have enough time for. You know,
a whole nother discussion.
If I want to get into lures, I'll grab Terry McBurney. I'll let him go on one lure that'll be a whole segment in itself. But, you know, I mean, look, in my early days of buying fishing lures, I picked up an Alger lure, which, come to find out, was worth quite a bit of money. You know, I bought it in a lot of stuff, did my research, found out how rare it was, and then, of course, went to eBay with it and did quite well. But those are things mm-hmm. that people look for their whole lifetime and never find.
Oh, absolutely.
But and real quickly, I want to touch on the Coleman thing. A buddy of mine was in an antique mall, like he does. Found a Coleman, for Coleman guys, you'll get this, a 200A that was probably fired once in the gold bond color in the box, and he picked it up for $28.50 out the door.
Wow.
Tell me I don't hate him right now.
That's what we like to call collector's envy.
Yeah, well, it is because, and it's you know, everything Coleman is always dated. It's a 572, so it's from May of 1972. And what I've seen recently sold is somewhere up in the $2,000 area, which
wow.
I don't know how that bypasses antique dealers, personally being one, because I do so much research on everything, but not everybody, I guess, is like us.
Sure. Well, and it's, you know, and it's time consuming, and it seems like everyone's life is just getting busier by the day. And, you know, I know if my wife and I and our family with our kids in baseball and softball, there's just not time to do everything. And I think that's why reaching out to someone like yourself or us as an auction company or online and do research to find the people that can help you and put you into the right place to get your items to the market. And the market is really, if you're advertising your items to the market, they're going to tell you what it's worth, whether it's with us or eBay or a collector buying it directly. I've seen collectors pay what I thought was more money than what the market would bear just because they have the opportunity to buy it directly from the estate, what we would call in the world of a barn find. Mm-hmm. And people just get more excited about saying, hey, I found that Coleman lantern that was in Joe Johnson's barn right down the road, and I pulled it right off his wall.
Right. No, I get it. And it's, I don't know, man. There's something about this. Yes, my wife says I have an addiction, and I'll agree. I do. Plain and simple. It's the find, because I'll have things that I found, and they stack up, unfortunately. And then you have to have a big sale and get rid of stuff, or find a guy like you, an auctioneer, and put it all in one lot. But either way, you know, if you're not sure, again, I'm going to go back to the couple things that I said. If you're not sure, don't throw it away. And then two, call somebody. You know, call someone like Grant or myself, and we'll be happy to, you know, get the ball rolling for you. Your schedule, what do you got coming up auction-wise?
Well, we've got our next auction is going to be on Sunday, August 1st. So we're getting ready to start the catalog on that. And then we've got our premier auction in October. That'll be October 10th. And then we'll probably have another sale sometime in November or December. And then there are a few local shows that are coming up as well. This weekend I'm heading to Iowa for the Iowa Greater Outdoors Sporting Collectible Show. That'll be in Des Moines. That'll be Friday and Saturday. And then we do have a Michigan show coming, which is going to be great to have finally with COVID being over. It's going to be in Cadillac, Michigan. It's going to be on Sunday, August 8th. And it's going to, you can find information on our website at miauctioneersinc.com. And we'll be promoting that show. That'll be a great Sunday, one day show from 8 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That'll be right there in Cadillac, Michigan.
All right, Grant Cole, appreciate you joining us here. Look for him online. Look for us as well, wildmichiganradio.com, on Facebook, Instagram, all that great stuff. Appreciate you joining us. And thanks to Jenny Seilich nor is Jenny Olson from Michigan Outdoors TV for joining us in this hour. Not just guns, Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, bringing you Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.